From WAMC in Albany, this is the Legislative Gazette, a weekly magazine about New York State government and politics. Your host is David Gustina, with political commentary by Dr. Alan Shartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
Coming up this week, Governor Cuomo continues to call the state Senate to come back and work on what he says is unfinished business. Our political observer Alan Shartok shares his thoughts on his conversation with State Comptroller Tom DiNapoli, who wants his procurement reform bill passed. And New York U.S. Senator Gillibrand proposes new legislation to make prescription drugs more affordable for older Americans. Those stories and more on the Legislative Gazette. Less than a month after the legislative session officially ended, Governor Andrew Cuomo has been calling for the state Senate to come back and work on what he says is unfinished business. The Legislative Gazette, Karen DeWitt with more.
Cuomo says the Senate, which is led by a Republican coalition, needs to come back and vote on a measure that would codify the rights in the landmark U.S. Supreme Court decision Roe v. Wade into law. The governor believes the ruling is in danger of being overturned now that President Trump has picked Brett Kavanaugh as his nominee for the Supreme Court. 31 Democrats in the Senate say they'd vote for the measure. One Republican vote is needed in order for the bill to pass. Cuomo's been holding campaign-style rallies around the state. He compares the situation to that of 1970, when several Republicans sided with Democrats to decriminalize abortion in New York.
Go back to Albany and vote on the bill as a matter of conscience. Let the people of this state know where you stand.
Cuomo's political opponents, including his primary challenger Cynthia Nixon, say the governor's had 8 years to pass the measure, known as the Reproductive Health Act, and they question why he's waited until now to press the bill. Cuomo says he's been unsuccessful in the past in convincing Republicans to put the measure on the floor for a vote. Cuomo says the Senate also needs to come back to renew 140 speed cameras near schools in New York City. Without action, the authorization for the cameras expires in a few days.
We're not going to take no for an answer. And if they refuse to do it, then they are responsible for the consequences.
A Senate GOP spokeswoman says senators don't like the bill as written and want to make changes. They object to a provision that allows non-doctors to perform abortions. Pro-choice advocates, including Planned Parenthood, say the bill does not go any further than the rights already defined in Roe that have been law in the nation since 1973. Assembly Democrats have already passed both measures. Speaker Carl Hastie, visiting Olana, the historic home of 19th-century painter Frederick Church in the Hudson Valley, says he'd also like the Senate to return. But he says the Reproductive Health Act does not need to be amended.
Women's health is not something I'm not interested in negotiating. It's either you support a woman's right to choose or you don't. This is not something that you can negotiate or tweak or anything like that.
Meanwhile, in May, Senate Republicans approved a bill on ethics reform in reaction to two corruption convictions this year involving former associates of Governor Cuomo. The measures would increase transparency in economic development projects by making a public database of all of the contracts the state has with developers. The other would reinstate the state controller's oversight over the contracts. Hastie says the Assembly won't come back to approve those measures, though, until there's agreement from Governor Cuomo on them. He says the rules would affect state agencies that Cuomo oversees, so the governor needs to have some input on the legislation. And he questions whether any law can really stop people from committing crimes.
I'm still waiting to see if we can come up with the first bill on people's morality. I think when people are doing the wrong thing, they know it's the wrong thing, and they just hope that they can get away with it. And I guess in some regard, the system does work because people who continue to violate the public's trust are being brought to justice.
The governor has backed an alternative plan that included a new inspector general under his power to root out corruption. But lately he said he already overhauled the bidding system within his administration to prevent further corruption. A spokesman for the state Senate, Scott Reif, says there are no plans at this time to return to the Capitol for a summer session. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
Joining us now, Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Chartok. Alan, this week you spoke with the state controller, Tom DiNapoli. One of the major issues was procurement and the ability to pre-audit these contracts that come from some of the economic development programs that we've seen now ending up in corruption trials. Joe Prococo, Todd Howe, Buffalo Billions, and Elaine Calieros.
Moreland Act Commission.
Yes,
you name it.
You discussed this, and he said he wants that bill passed so that he can have that power. Back.
Look, it's disgusting. Cuomo gets elected. He's never liked Tom DiNapoli. He acted like a bully with DiNapoli, and he is going to win this election. That's the way the polls are going, at least right now they are. Nevertheless, you got to call him like you see him. And what I'm seeing is a governor who tries to take away constitutional powers, and I think they really are. The intent of the New York State Constitution is to give the controller the ability to call him like he sees him, and that is what he is doing. You take away the pre-audit function on some of these very, I'm going to use the word scary, SUNY not-for-profits, and say, well, it'll take too long. Well, it took too long. You got Joe Prococo, you got Todd Howe, you got all of the rest of that stuff. It's disgusting. And now, the right thing to do is to give him back those powers so he can catch the next group of potential felons. But no, this governor doesn't want to do it. And in fact, on sometimes he says, we'll do it. I'll set up my own apparatus to study myself. Will you give me a break?
Well, Governor Cuomo basically forced to donate the funds from those convicted developers in that Buffalo Billions trial. And that happened this week. He said he's going to donate the money given by those developers convicted of bid rigging to organizations that support reproductive rights, immigration policy, and Puerto Rico storm recovery, despite what could be seen as an election problem. We also see a Quinnipiac poll that finds him knocking down all comers.
He's doing very well in the polls. It is still not Labor Day. Labor Day is when things really get hot in New York state politics, if at all. As you know, Trump has sucked the wind out of all of the political news, and so most people aren't paying very much attention to what's going on in New York State, even though, of course, it goes without saying that they ought to be. But they're not. Cuomo has a name, Papa's name, and people in New York City don't follow state politics that much. And right now, we're seeing a good example of why people have to have the ability to look at things and say, well, you know, Joe Prococo, the Moreland Act Commission, Todd Howe, Elaine Calieros, they're falling like flies. And of course, Cuomo knows he's in some trouble, and you're seeing his ads already. He's raised over $30 million for this campaign. He's spending it like a drunken sailor right now, and his face, his smiling face, is all over the airwaves, and it's working. That's the way it is. You put your money down and you get what you pay for. And you better believe that it's going to continue unabated until that $30 million is spent. The one thing that's interesting to me, David, is that we all knew that he was very interested in doing what his father had not been able to do, which is to run for president of the United States, and he still may do that. Nevertheless, I have to tell you that the serious pundits who are looking at all of the potential candidates, I haven't seen any mention of Andrew's name whatsoever.
We also saw the retrial and second conviction of Dean Skelos and his son Adam on bribery charges. And you pointed out in your conversation with Comptroller DiNapoli that there's a certain type of corruption, like getting your son a job or rewarding those campaign contributors, that if it really is considered a crime, would have an open door to the prison for many lawmakers.
David, let me say it again, just so everybody understands. Politicians do that. They get telephone calls all the time. My son, my grandson, he's the smartest kid in the world. She's the smartest kid in the whole world. Can't you help? All of that goes on. It goes on without any question. And do people give as a result of getting results from their legislators or that kind of help? They do all of the time. However, when you can prove specifically a quid pro quo, if you do this, I will do this for you. And that's what happened in the Skelos case. That's the end. And they will always, the IRS will do it, the government will do it, the federal prosecutors will do it. They will always pick out one schmegegi who becomes the target as a warning to everybody else not to do it.
A controversy has erupted in the 19th congressional district race. We have John Faso, the Republican, who holds the seat against one of the candidates, Antonio Delgado, who is a former rapper and has a hip-hop album called Painfully Free, which has been targeted not only by John Faso, but even some ads I've seen from the National Republicans that are attacking him for some of the lyrics he used and some of the values that they say are not part of the district.
Meanwhile,
in a speech last night in Cooperstown, Delgado, when asked about this whole issue, said, "Is that all you've got?" And referring to Faso, will this issue hurt him in the election?
I don't know. It's a tough district. There's no question about it. There are some liberal places within the district which will clearly not be happy with Faso. There is the whole issue, and this is the important thing. You can like Faso if you're a Republican, and if you're a Democrat, you have to make an assessment whether flipping the House is more important than whether you like your individual congressman. The one thing that will stop Donald Trump right now is a flipped House of Representatives in which Congress will do the investigations which the Republicans who are in control or who are feckless have refused to do.
Alan, the controversy has also enveloped New Paltz professor Gerald Benjamin, someone who you've known for many, many years. The SUNY New Paltz political scientist apologized after coming under fire for comments he made in the New York Times story, saying that he did not consider rap music to be real music.
Well, look, let me just start by saying that Jerry Benjamin is my oldest friend at New Paltz. We have done many things together over the years, including establishing the Legislative Gazette, the internship program. The Benjamin Institute has been named after him, and he made a mistake. Guess what? He apologized for the mistake. He shouldn't have said what he said. He knows that. He can make a political science type assessment as to whether hip-hop music will help in the district. But what he can and shouldn't do is imply that it isn't really music. That was unacceptable. He knows it. And I know Jerry. He's a stand-up guy, and he said he was wrong, and he's wrong.
Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Chartung.
Meanwhile, State Comptroller Tom DiNapoli also spoke at length with the Legislative Gazette's Alan Chartok about immigration and its impact on New York State.
Well, we look at immigration broadly. We were just down in the Mohawk Valley. We did an economic snapshot, and the Mohawk Valley is certainly a case where immigration has had a very strong and a very, very positive impact. That's a part of the state that's been losing population, and they still are, but part of what's backfilling the population loss, those that are moving out of the area, it's the immigrants coming in. You go to a city like Utica, that's where we were the other day. I mean, close to 20% of their population is foreign-born, and Mayor Palmieri will tell you the immigrants have come into the communities where, you know, houses were empty and neighborhoods were falling apart, and they've revitalized them. You know, what percentage of those are legal versus illegal, I can't tell you that. But there's no doubt that this disparaging of immigrants is wrong. In the Mohawk Valley, they you know, in the Utica area, they actually have a refugee resource center that's doing it the right way, putting a positive on how to help refugees come into the society, not only get jobs, education, legalize their status, all of which is what the story should be about. So without immigrants, I mean, just look at the agricultural sector. Who's going to be doing the harvesting? Look at our restaurants and hospitality sector. Who's filling those jobs? So, and I've been hearing from some business people, because of what's happening at the national level, they're finding it harder to find people to employ. So, you know, we need a more rational system. There's no doubt about it. The separating of families is horrendous, and not what America is about. But, you know, we all have immigrant roots, and this negativity about what immigration is all about is just so wrong. And so, from my point of view, it's not my family story. It's not the American story.
Listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Giustina. Two Democratic state lawmakers from the Hudson Valley are calling on the Thruway Authority to cancel its contract extension with the company that operates New York's cashless tolling system. They say the company's operation at the Governor Mario M. Cuomo Bridge has resulted in residents being charged unreasonable penalties and fines. The Legislative Gazette's Allison Dunn explains.
State Senator David Carlucci wants the contract canceled, rewritten in the best interest of taxpayers, and put out to bid.
And I would say we would let conduit apply as well. But we've got to have a better process in place. We've got to be able to hold conduit accountable. They've talked about being fined about $470,000. That's a drop in the bucket when you talk about a $200 million contract. We paid conduit over $200 million over the past 10 years, and I feel that conduit has not had an incentive to innovate their technology or their customer service. When cashless tolls turned out to be a disaster for thousands of people, my office was the customer service arm for EasyPass.
He says the three-year contract extension that began in October 2017 is for about $72 million, following the 10-year contract. Assemblyman Tom Abenanti joins Carlucci in the call for rescinding the contract.
At a time when the state is considering making cashless tolling statewide, we need an operator that is concerned about the drivers and not just about its bottom line. Conduit gets paid some $20 million a year through a contract that we can't access. We've asked for a copy of the contract, and we've gotten a 1,500-page document with some 500 pages redacted so that we can't read the important details.
Details, he says, like about performance standards. Carlucci says he had received the contract through a Freedom of Information Act request. A conduit spokesman referred a request for comment to the Thruway Authority. In an emailed statement, a Thruway Authority spokesman says, quote, quality customer service for motorists is a high priority, which is why the authority has already developed a series of improvements Conduit is implementing for customers using tolls by mail and EasyPass. Under the existing contract, Conduit has been and will continue to be penalized financially each and every time they underperform. We appreciate the legislators' efforts and will continue to press Conduit to deliver the highest level of service to our customers, end quote. Again, Abenanti.
There are a lot of motorists who are still finding that the first bill they get in the mail is a penalty from Conduit rather than the original charge for crossing the Tappan Zee Bridge. Conduit still hasn't fixed that system, hasn't made it easier for people to pay their tolls or even to find out what they are.
Earlier this year, the Thruway Authority implemented a five-week amnesty program that it says resolved more than 281,000 cashless tolling violations, resulting in more than $1.4 million in unpaid tolls being collected from tolls by mail customers at the Mario Cuomo Bridge / Tappan Zee Bridge. And effective May 15th, the Thruway Authority announced that toll violation fees at the Mario Cuomo Bridge would be reduced from $100 to $50 per trip. Carlucci says the improvements are a step in the right direction, but not enough. And he urges New York Governor Andrew Cuomo to sign his Toll Payer Protection Act, which contains the following.
I mean, things that we probably shouldn't legislate. The agency should be doing them already, but they haven't. We're talking about simple things like allowing for people to sign up for text alerts and email alerts to get their bills, to have an itemized bill, to have a time frame with when people have to be notified that they've incurred a bill and a fine, and also to require the MTA to offer an amnesty program as well, like the Thruway Authority did. The Toll Payer Protection Act is something that came out of this debacle. That's one thing, but I think an easy place to start is by canceling the contract with Conduit.
Carlucci and Abenanti say it was Conduit's mismanagement that led to the amnesty program. Here's Abenanti.
When we look at Conduit's track record in other states, we have grave cause for concern. It appears that Florida's system was down for some 30 days. Maryland has decided not to renew its contract with Conduit, and others are looking carefully at what conduct Conduit has had.
Currently, cashless tolling is available only on the Mario Cuomo and Grand Island bridges in Erie County. In June, Governor Cuomo announced cashless tolling will begin on the Thruway Authority's remaining fixed toll barriers in the Lower Hudson Valley by the end of 2018.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Allison Dunn.
You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina. New York U.S. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand was in Troy late last week to announce new legislation aimed at making prescription drugs for older Americans more affordable. The Legislative Gazette's Dave Lucas reports.
Gillibrand told a gathering of senior citizens at Kennedy Towers Senior Housing that her Stop Price Gouging Act would drive down prescription drug prices, ensure access to affordable medications, and penalize drug manufacturers that hike prices without justification.
So we have a bill to hold drug companies accountable. If they raise their rates 15%, we take some of their profits. If they raise them 20%, we take even more. If they raise them more than 20%, we take all the profit from that drug. That is a way to stop price gouging.
Gillibrand says the key is to speak out. The Democrats' legislation would require pharmaceutical companies to report and justify any increases in the price of a drug by more than medical inflation, impose a tax penalty on corporations that engage in excessive, unjustified price increases, conduct a government study examining how drug manufacturers set prices, and reinvest revenues collected from companies in drug research and development at the National Institutes of Health.
I talked to two veterans outside on my way in. They get the VA. And as you know, the VA gets to buy their medicines in bulk, so they get lower prices. Why can't Medicare buy in bulk and get lower prices? It was a part of the law when it was written under President Bush, under Medicare Part D, and it said they can't negotiate to get the lowest prices. For who? For the benefit of the drug companies.
Gillibrand is also pushing for Congress to pass other bills she has co-sponsored that would assist seniors by increasing access to medications while making them more affordable.
A lot of people will drive to Canada to get their drugs because it's cheaper, because the Canadian government is allowed to buy in bulk and get lower prices. So we should change the law. And if you want to drive to Canada, God bless you. You should be able to go and buy safe drugs there.
Deborah Witkowski is executive director of the Troy Housing Authority. More than 400 seniors reside at THA sites.
Most, if not all, of our seniors are on a very limited fixed income. They realize that rising prescription drug costs can have a dramatic impact on their daily lives. It can reduce or eliminate what they have to spend on social and recreational activities, and more importantly, on food, shelter, and clothing.
Gillibrand says drug companies can legally raise their prices at any time and aren't required to report hikes to the public.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Dave Lucas.
And that about does it for this week's show. We had help from the New York State Public Radio Network. For copies, call 1-800-323-9262. That's 1-800-323-9262. Ask for program number 1829. Or just listen or podcast on the web at wamc.org. And join us again next week at the same time. For more news on New York State government and politics, for the Legislative Gazette, I'm David Gustina.
Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.